2026 special session. Will the members and visitors please take your seats? Will the members and visitors please rise? The prayer today will be offered by the representative from the 25th Assembly District, Representative Tim.
Thank you. My favorite Bible verse is Nahum 1:7. Yes, that is in the Bible. It's a minor prophet in the Old Testament. And it says, "The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him." Have you trusted him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this special session. Lord, we pray that you would just give us kindness in our words, love in our heart, and righteousness in debate. Lord God, I pray that you would just help us to be the examples that we need to be of you in this chamber. And Lord, guard our hearts and our minds towards you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Pledge of Allegiance will be offered by the gentleman from the 59th District. Business is to call the roll. The clerk will open the roll.
This Andy Kaufman would say, "Okay." Remember that?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Snodgrass McCarville, probably. Have all members recorded their presence? If so, the clerk will close the roll. There are 95 members present. A quorum is present. Gentleman from the 68th.
Mr. Speaker, I ask your consent for a leave of absence for the gentleman from the 82nd.
A gentleman from the 68th asks unanimous consent for the leave be granted for the balance of the day. The gentleman from the 82nd, is there any objection? Hearing none, it is so ordered. Lady from the 79th.
Pardon me while I knock the phone off the desk. I rise to ask for a leave of absence for the balance, or unanimous consent for a leave of absence for the balance of the day for the representative from the 42nd, the representative from the 9th, and the representative from the 52nd.
Lady from the 79th, ask unanimous consent that a leave for the balance of the day be granted to the lady from the 49th, the lady from the 9th, and the lady from the 52nd. Is there any objection? Hearing none, those leaves are granted. We are in the 10th order of business as the May 2026 special session calendar. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
May 2026 special session Assembly Bill 1 relating to income tax subtraction for qualified tips and for qualified overtime compensation, state aid for school districts, surplus refund payments, increasing funding for special education and school age parent programs, state aid to technical colleges, and the technical college district representative making appropriation.
Representative from the 32nd for an introduction.
Am I up? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to take a moment to recognize the Kenosha County Law Day Group, sponsored by the American Legion County Council and led by the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. These students participate annually in an essay contest. This year's theme is the rule of law and the American dream. Sorry I can't be with you guys today. I'll try to catch up with you a little bit later. Thanks for being here.
The question question is, shall May 2026 Special Assembly Bill 1 be ordered, engrossed, and read a third time? All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it. The bill is engrossed. Representative from the 33rd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand to consent the rules be suspended. AB 1 be given its third reading.
Representative from the 31st, I ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended in May 2026. Special Session Assembly Bill 1 be given a third reading. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the clerk read the title of the bill.
May 2026 Special Session Assembly Bill 1 relating to income tax subtraction for qualified tips and for qualified overtime compensation, state aid for school districts, surplus refund payments, increasing funding for special education and school-age parent programs, state aid to technical colleges and the technical college district revenue limit, make an appropriation.
The question is, May 2026 Special Session Assembly Bill 1, having been read three times, shall the bill be passed? There's 3.5 hours to debate on this bill. Representative from the 33rd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. Good morning. I thought when we left last that that would be our final session day, and I am extremely excited to say that we are here to do more good business today. You know, it's interesting, it took some time as I was leaving my post and kind of thinking about what the next chapter is going to be. And the thing that gets me the most is we think about the things that we did, the positive impacts that we made, and what did we run for in the first place. The reason we are here is to do all of those things one more time. And that is to say we have good things that we can do. We can show people that we listen and that we are willing to act. And most importantly, that compromise in Wisconsin is not a dead word. Compromise is defined as getting something that you want by giving up something that your partner or your opponent wants. That is really what we did here. We sat down with the governor in good faith for months. He started in a different place, so did we. Things that we wanted, he clearly couldn't accept. Things that he wanted, we clearly couldn't accept. You know what that is? That is compromise. That is saying, let's put aside the things that can never happen to focus on the things that can. That's where we are today. I think it's unanimous, or you would hope it would be unanimous, that when we have a bill where 80% of the money that we are appropriating goes back in relief to people who need it the most, it goes back to people who own property, it goes back to people who are renters, it goes back to people who are rich and poor, people who are old and young, urban and rural. Everyone in Wisconsin is going to stand to get benefit from the deal that we put together today. How did we get here? Prudent, good budgeting. Wisconsin's economy is in a good spot for most people. Now, some are suffering as we deal with rising costs. No doubt about that. But the good news for Wisconsin is that our surplus is strong and it's growing. Now, we have a couple options of what to do with that surplus. Option one, keep it in the checkbook and save it to spend it later. Option two, use it to grow the size of government because we need more government programs, not less. Option three, give all of it back. I would have chosen option three, right, if I got to have a compromise that was literally with myself, but that's not the way of the world. I think all the surplus should go back to be able to deal with the rising costs in our society. But in a world where the voters of Wisconsin have said no one side gets to make all the decisions, the side that says it should be all spent on growing government, they don't get their way either. And that's why this compromise says we're going to give it back to people who work overtime. That to me is one of the most important. We have got a workforce crisis in America where we need more people pulling the wagon to be able to make our country the place that we all know it has been and it continue to be, and it needs to continue to be. But what that means is we need everybody working hard. And when the idea of giving relief for people who are in overtime came up, right away I thought, what a great idea. Because what do we want to do in Wisconsin? Incentivize people to work hard and give them a reward for doing so. This bill finally does it. We passed it before. Unfortunately, I think all my Democratic colleagues in the past voted no, but they have a chance to right the record. Because here we are standing up for working people who work by the hour. They need the help. How about waitresses and waiters, people who literally work in service to others? They deserve a break that we're giving them today. So if you are a waiter or a waitress, you work on a tip, you're no longer going to have to pay income taxes on that. just like the feds. You're not going to have to worry about getting a federal rent deduction, but not getting one from the state. And last I knew, rich people aren't waiters, and rich people don't work by the hour. So this is not something geared toward the rich, which is what my Democratic colleagues normally have a problem with. So we have listened to their concerns, and we are targeting our relief. Second thing that we did was to say, look, Governor Evers' 400-year veto is a travesty. It should never have happened. We have done everything that we possibly can to overturn it. And God willing, in November, there's a referendum on the ballot, and the voters are going to get a chance to say, we're going to do it ourselves around the political bureaucracy. That's on the ballot in November. So we have the ability to overturn that and never let it happen again. That's important to occur. We also need to elect a new governor to make sure that this priority happens for the state of Wisconsin. But in the meantime, for the people who are here suffering with the consequences of that 400-year veto and the inaction of my Democratic colleagues to give a darn about property taxes, we're going to take the matter into our own hands because we had a governor who was willing to compromise and work with us to find a better answer. So here we are for 1 year. It's not permanent. It's not going to be every one of the 399 years, but the one-year relief this year is permanent forever. That property tax will help every single Wisconsin homeowner and property owner to be able to afford their property tax bill when they get it in December. Lastly, we focused on making sure that in an area where we made a promise, now I know very few Democrats voted for the budget when it passed, even though it was a record investment in education, we got income tax cuts, we did record investments in a lot of priorities, there was a promise that was made to make sure that we funded special education going forward. Now, it was an estimate, a good faith effort from the governor's office and the fiscal bureau, again, a compromise to say, what does that number need to be able to meet a certain threshold? It came in higher than we anticipated. No one's fault, it wasn't done intentionally. So here we are back to fix a problem that was actually no one's fault, but the people who would ultimately pay the price, and that's local school districts and property taxpayers at the local level. Easy answer to say, why wouldn't we use some of the surplus to not only help keep property taxes down in local areas, but to make sure that if you're a child with special needs or the parent or a loved one, we're gonna get more services so those kids get what they need. Should be easy because this bill today is a record investment in special ed, the highest level ever. It not only keeps our promise from the budget, but it actually increases the spending because we had that surplus coming in. Now, you're gonna hear from my Democratic colleagues that they wanna save the money because they want to invest it in growing the size of government. That's what they're going to say, even though they might not use those words. We know the truth. We want to give it back. Some Democrats want to keep it. Luckily, Tony Evers isn't one of those. He actually had the ability to say, let's compromise. Let's each give. Let's find a consensus because the people of Wisconsin expect us to do better than to just stand up and shake our fist. Maybe today, some of them will be persuaded by their own governor. Believe it or not, I actually was. And I feel like I'm probably a more harsh critic than the people on the left. So if people on our side are willing to listen and can compromise, why can't you? Why can't people on the left just one time put aside politics and say, let's do the right thing? Money for schools, money for people who are at the normal income wage, people who work hard, all with a surplus, and we have plenty of money left in the till. Don't forget, we have $2 billion in our surplus still. Even after this. On Monday, it kind of got lost in the news, but we also had a $300 million increase, or almost a 15% increase in the amount of money in our surplus because the economy in Wisconsin is so strong. So we didn't choose to spend that. That's still gonna be in the state's checkbook. So a record amount in the rainy day fund, a bunch of money still in our checkbook, and we get to make good investments. This is the easiest green vote I have probably ever taken in my service in the legislature. We're spending money, making sure that it goes back to people. We're spending money that's, some of it's permanent. The funding for schools is permanent. So are some of the tax cuts. And we're using the balance for a one-time rebate. It is a win, win, win. So for the people of Wisconsin, have confidence. Your state government works. Republicans and Democrats hold to our principles, but in the end, we find a way to get to yes, because that's the Wisconsin way. I urge all my colleagues to vote yes and have hopefully a good long debate where we can agree that getting the money back is way better than keeping it here for some other person to spend.
Good question is, May 2026, special session, Assembly Bill 1, having been read three times, shall the bill be passed? Representative from the 73rd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm rising in opposition to this bill because I cannot support a piece of legislation that spends so much state money and does so little in terms of solving big problems. I find the so-called tax rebate provision particularly objectionable. At a time when our president and his party are taking away healthcare subsidies, slashing funding to address food insecurity, and actively harming all of us with a reckless war of choice with no plan, that is driving up gas prices, this bill fails to help the people who need it most. But to understand why, we have to get past those talking points that were just shared, and we need to look at actual substance. This bill is promoted as giving single people $300 rebate checks and married couples $600. But everyone should know that 1.36 million Wisconsinites won't be getting a check at all. Maybe they don't file taxes, either because they don't make enough to feel that it's worth it, or because they live on Social Security. Or maybe, like was true of me when my kids were young and I was a very broke graduate student, they do file taxes, but they have so many deductions and they make so little that they actually have a negative tax rate and don't have a tax liability. So if you have kids and don't make much money, just know that you might not be getting any help at all. Not $300, maybe not even $50. Maybe you'll get a check for $5. Time will tell. The argument that people in that position don't pay taxes, so they don't deserve any part of this, is wrong. Everyone pays taxes, whether it's sales tax on buying school supplies, property taxes on your mortgage or factored into your rent, or the gas tax to fill up your car to go to work. We all contribute. To only consider income tax is patently regressive and morally wrong. In this bill, a significant portion of the people who need our help the most are being left out. This is bad policy. On the other hand, households that make $300,000 or more, nearly all of them are going to get checks for the full amount. In this bill, joint filers who make $300,000 or more would get $600. If you add up all the people who make $300,000 or more in this state, this bill is costing us $47.5 million. I do not understand how the people negotiating this bill could so callously duck their responsibility. How is it okay to give the nearly 9,000 households that make $1 million or more $600 each? But we can't figure out how to help someone who's trying to get by on Social Security alone? This is not how to stabilize a society in a time of economic strain. And what about property tax relief we heard about? If your home value is at the state median, which is $312,000, you'll be saving $107, not per month, for the entirety of the year. And not this year, next year. If you pay your taxes through an escrow account like most do, starting in January 2027, you'll save $8.91 per month. That's less than 2 gallons of gas today. Who knows how much gas will cost by then. But what's most depressing about this bill is the treatment of our public schools. In my district, I have two school districts, where the per pupil revenue limit is at the floor for the state. One of my districts is so broke, my home district, where my son graduated, is so broke that they are constantly having to cut services. So you might think, well then, yeah, vote for this bill. Don't they need the money? Yeah, they do. That's what makes this no vote hard. They desperately need the money, thanks to the actions of the majority party over the last 16 years. But our job in this building is to see the bigger picture. And I see the bigger play that Republicans are making. Give wealthy families in our state what's left of the surplus so that next year we are left with crumbs to fix what the majority has broken. This deal puts us in a significant structural deficit in years 3 and 4. The Fiscal Bureau says that we will need to grow by 4% to make up for that. At a time where we're seeing projections that we're going to see retrenchment economically. This is irresponsible. Even more than the flood of Republican retirements, draining state coffers shows that Republicans know that the voters will not want them back in the majority next session. They have been defunding essential public institutions for years, and on the way out the door, they want to try to make it harder for us to clean up the mess that they have made. I know Governor Evers is desperate to help public schools. No one wants to help them more than our party. But not like this. Not recklessly, not in a way that makes real solutions, long-term solutions, harder. This is irresponsible policy. The vote is red.
Representative from the 30th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's wonderful to see so many youngsters in the gallery here today, and welcome to the state capitol. And I want to say something to all of you. What you're witnessing here today is going to look nothing like the real world when you enter it later on, where compromise is actually common. That happens, and it's effective, and it works. So the speaker, I think, did a great job in framing this initially. It is about compromise. It is about balance, right? This is balanced governing that we're witnessing here today. I applaud Governor Evers for working with us to advance this. And what you're hearing is, but it's not great. It's not great. Today I'll take good. I will take good for Hudson, Wisconsin, for River Falls, Wisconsin. The service industry is an industry where these individuals rely upon those tips. That is their primary income. I worked it. A dishwasher, went to busboy in advance. It was a great journey. Today is a great day for them because more of their money is going to be theirs. That is impactful. That is not trivial, and that is something that we should all support. When I first was elected, I spent a lot of time going to my local schools, and I saw firsthand the challenges with special education and the implications to those school districts. Today, we have an opportunity also to do something special for those individuals, for the kids, for the faculty, for the staff, for our communities as well. We talk about, on joint finance yesterday, it was suggested that we've robbed education over the past number of years. Robbed education? We put more money in education than we ever have before. It was also noted in the Joint Finance Committee that we've got to spend more, and these schools need to know that this money's gonna be there. They need predictability. Here's the issue. You wanna talk about structure, you wanna talk about the root cause in education, then let's do it. Let's talk about the fact that we have, in our demographics, declining student population. That's just a thing. It's not a bad thing, it's just a real thing that we have to take on. So sending more money or guaranteeing it and continuing to increase it is not the answer. We have to look at alternatives to the model. 4% growth, it was suggested, boy, can we rely upon that? Well, I look back over the past 10, 12, 15 years, it's always been there. But what we don't talk about is there's a delta in that 4%. What if we actually saved some money somewhere within the state budget? Novel concept, sometimes in government, but we do it in the private sector all the time. Today is a wonderful example for all you watching of compromise with a split government, and we're getting something done that will be impactful for those in our communities. The vote is absolutely green, Mr. Speaker.
Representative from the 93rd.
Mr. Speaker, I'm trying to wrap my head around the distinction between what we are talking about today and what we're actually hearing back home in our communities, because Wisconsinites are demanding structural and responsible solutions to the structural challenges that they're facing. They are not new to the economic pain that they're feeling right now. They have lived in a Wisconsin that has been governed by Republicans in the legislature for 15 years, and they're feeling the structural impacts of the pain that's been inflicted on the economy over that time. The proposal that we're discussing right now, instead, is at best a short-term band-aid and does not offer enough, and does not offer the structural solutions that people are demanding. And worse yet, it continues a pattern of Republican bills that make empty promises that will not be kept. In the last budget, the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee and legislature promised public school students and districts 42% of their special education costs. But that promise was broken. And legislative Democrats introduced legislation to compel the legislature to keep its promises on special education. That proposal was not taken up or even given a hearing. Now, this proposal promises 50% next year, but does not make the structural change to the law or the way that special ed is administered to guarantee that that money will hit school districts. So it will once again be a broken promise. And the bulk of this legislation spent on one-time expenditures in the form of so-called rebate checks will be another broken promise. We've already heard about the narrative created by the majority around $300 per person. Well, that's going to be awfully difficult to defend when so many people open their mailboxes and find a check for $10, $40, $0, as so many will. Another broken promise. And so in addition to those disappointments, just imagine my disappointment when I saw on Monday the proposal put forward by three outgoing politicians that looks like this, when there was already an affordable and structural proposal on the table for weeks. Assembly Bill 1176 was written with the current surplus projections in mind, and it was introduced by every single Assembly Democrat weeks ago. It would offer structural, sustainable support to people struggling with the cost of housing through property taxes and to kids and families in public schools. It would offer enough funding and general aid to public schools to buy down property taxes for education this year. And it would offer 60% of special education costs in a some sufficient way, meaning the promise would be kept. Districts would be offered 60%, they could budget for 60%, and then they would actually receive it. And the plan that we put forward would save $500 million more than the reckless spending bill that was proposed this week by the outgoing speaker, the outgoing Senate Republican leader, and the outgoing governor. This one would instead drain the piggy bank and reward wealthier school districts through some new funding model at the expense of poorer districts. And it's just not lost on me that there was already a good proposal on the table that was ignored in favor of this one. And working class Wisconsinites that we all represent, all of us represent, are the people who have to live with the decisions that we make today. So they deserve honest decisions that will make promises and keep them, and responsible decisions that will be good stewards of public funds, directing resources to make structural change to fix the structural problems causing people structural economic pain. And that is why I'm opposed to this bill today.
The question is, May 2026, special session, Assembly Bill 1, having been read three times, shall the bill be passed? Representative from the 85th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wow. I keep thinking to myself, this bill that was put forward was a compromise. And our last speaker, I was thinking to myself, if it was such a great bill that the Democrats put out, why didn't the governor start with that? Why didn't he start negotiating with that? He didn't, because he realized it wasn't going to make it, and it wasn't a compromise. I don't know why, when in my district, when people talk to me and just say, can you just work together? That's what I hear. Can you just work together? All it seems to be partisan. So now we put this bill out, which is, I think, a tremendous bill. Sure, there's things in here that I wasn't totally fond of, but in the essence of getting things done, you go forward with that. But we're hearing on both sides of the extreme aisles that we're somehow wrong, that we're terrible. And we got gubernatorial candidates weighing in on this who have no impact because whoever wins won't be here until next January, just like us. So this surplus is now. CESA 9 and my two school districts told me they need special ed funding. That's the number one thing, coming out of their Fund 10, out of their general fund. They never brought up our last CESA meeting, and I know the gentleman from the 35th was with me, they never brought up anything about, hey, there's a great Democrat bill that you should look at that's gonna fund it. They didn't. They said, what can you do to help us with special ed? Because that is where we need the help. This doesn't. DC Everest, this finishing up 25-26, over $500,000. In the 26-27, $1.36 million for special ed. I mean, in Wausau, over $750,000 for this first year and $2.1 million in the next year. So it's interesting, as this bill comes together, because it doesn't fit everything you want, you're gonna be a no. And I keep thinking to myself, if I was a no on this bill, My colleagues on the other side would hammer me. He hates education. He didn't vote for special ed increase. But now, since you weren't invited to the party of negotiations, you're upset. Well, I think about the people. I've said it countless numbers of times in some of the bills that I passed this session. It's about the people. It's not about me. It's not about my own agenda. When you're a legislator, you legislate for the people. And too many representatives take their small, loud minorities, making them think that they're the majority. When I want to hear from both sides and actually have some property tax relief, surplus relief, and especially special ed relief. So I am a yes on this, and I tell you, anyone who votes no on either side or you're pressured by the media, which I'm going to start listening to music now, the heck with talk radio in general, but in any case, let's move forward. The vote's yes. Thank you.
Representative from the 19th. Speaker, half of this $862 million set out by this bill will go to people making six figures. And most people across Wisconsin will not be getting, regardless of what you're hearing by some media, by some press releases, $300 or $600 checks. In fact, 1.36 million Wisconsin residents will not get a check at all under this plan. Many people in poverty will get zero. Many older adults will get zero. When you factor those folks in, here's what the numbers look like. If you're making more than $150,000 a year and you need assistance to lease, your joint filing household is going to get a check on average of $547.01. That's very close to the $600 distribution that many people think that they're getting. But if you're in the greatest need, if you're making less than $30,000 a year in Wisconsin, your average distribution is just $45.24. But worse, if your household is in extreme poverty, and you're making less than $15,000 a year, and a $600 check might make a real difference, the average amount that you would get is going to be 74 cents. And I want to say that one more time. Including the people who would get nothing, that is many, many people. People making under $15,000 a year would get an average payment from this plan of 74 pennies. That's less than the cost of a stamp to mail it out. So if you're sending out press releases noting how this will somehow do anything to help the affordability crisis that you and federal Republicans have created and made worse, save the ink. This is another redistribution of wealth to folks who need it the least and does nothing sufficient or sustainable for our students. AB 1176, on the other hand, offered by our own reps Phelps and Cruz, is half the cost and has twice the benefit to public schools. If we were serious about investing in Wisconsin, we'd pass that instead. This bill, authored by three people who will not thankfully be here next year, just rips the copper out of the walls on the way out and heads us to a structural deficit. We deserve better. The vote is no.
Representative from the 38th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's time to return the surplus to the taxpayers. I know that many of my Democrat colleagues in this room don't want to do that. Be very, very clear about that. But that's not what the people of Wisconsin want. Wisconsinites want their money returned to them. And that, at the core of this bill, is what it's about. This bill provides single tax filers with a $300 rebate and married couples filing jointly with a $600 rebate. Now, whether you're one of those rich teachers, those rich plumbers, those rich construction workers that we keep hearing about that the rebate's going to rich people somehow, or one of those rich paraprofessionals or window and door installers, to me, they're not rich. They're the people who make our economy work well. They're the backbone of this state. They work hard, and it's their money. We're getting them that tax relief here today. This bill also buys down property taxes by providing over $300 million in relief through the school funding formula. That's real property tax relief. This bill also does other great things that we already did. It eliminates the tax on tips. It eliminates the state income tax on overtime. What great provisions! We already passed that, and now we can do it again and actually get it done. The governor said he's going to sign it. In fact, for those of you who may be on social media, if you head over to Governor Tony Evers' Facebook page right now, he calls this deal a no-brainer. That's the current governor. I don't see eye to eye with the governor on most issues. I really don't. But the governor calls this a no-brainer. Additionally, this bill is a record investment in special education. Those are great things. As a part-time substitute teacher in my district, I know the challenges around special education. I do. And this bill provides relief. Now, there's some in this room who are going to claim that this bill doesn't go far enough. But then in the next breath, they're going to claim it's fiscally irresponsible. Well, Mr. Speaker, we're in special session. This isn't a budget. This is about the surplus, a projected $2.4 billion surplus that this bill only spends $1.8 billion of. It's not even the whole thing. The will of the people is the law of the land. And I'm confident that the people in my district and the entire state want property tax relief. They want to keep more of their hard-earned money. And they want great schools and a great education for their kids. Today, Republicans in this body have once again shown that we're listening to the people and that we're working to get things done and make a difference. My vote for the people, on behalf of the great people of Dodge and Jefferson counties, is a definite yes.
The question is, May 2026, Special Session Assembly Bill 1, having been read three times, shall the bill be passed? Representative from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's talk about compromise. I've heard that so often here today in the media coverage leading up to this vote. And I really wish the students who were in the gallery were back, because I know they're studying about the legislative process. And in the legislative process, they probably learned that you introduce a bill, that bill goes to committee, and the learned representatives get together and they fashion compromises, they offer amendments so that the bill in the end can be signed by a governor and signed into law. Well, that doesn't work this way in this building. Let's talk about compromise. Democrats introduced more than 500 bills this session. I think probably more than in the past decade, 3% of those bills got a public hearing. I'm not even talking passage, I'm talking a public hearing. So all of those bills had an opportunity for compromise, and 3% of them had that opportunity. I'm not gonna stand here and be lectured about compromise from people who won't even listen to us or give our bills the light of day. So now let's talk about the proposal in front of us. We all want to fund schools. We have offered plenty of bills to fund schools. We're talking about the ability to fix structurally the underfunding of the past decade of our public schools. And I know you're all standing up and congratulating yourselves on giving more money to schools. And yes, that is good, but you don't get a prize for boarding up a window that you broke in the first place. So I had the opportunity, I should say not the opportunity, the misfortune of living in Texas for a few years, about 25 years ago. And this has a point. And Texas has some great Tex-Mex food, but one of the things that they have there was something very odd. And it's called a turducken, which is a turkey, and it's stuffed with a chicken and a duck. And this bill today, this proposal is a turducken because it's a turkey that was put together by a bunch of lame ducks by a Republican. facing this state. Now, I am all here. I am here to say yes to schools and yes to school funding. And we are willing to compromise on structural changes. We have been all session. We were the session before that and the session before that that I was here. And you've ignored every single one. We will compromise. We are here for it. We want to talk to you. I carried the blue ribbon report around. You know I have talked to so many of you. We have a lot of the solutions. I'm being sued right now, along with my colleagues on the Joint Finance Committee. It shouldn't have to come to this. Every one of us here will talk to you about fixing the school funding formula. Every single one of us will talk all day, all night. But don't tell us we won't compromise. When you have spent a decade ignoring us, and ignoring the will of our voters, and ignoring the schools in your own district. The vote on this is no.
Representative from the 51st.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I actually was gonna ask to wait a while to speak because I'm actually enjoying my colleagues on the other side have a meltdown. And why are they having a meltdown? Because we are giving more money to schools. We are giving money back to the taxpayers who actually pay taxes. We are giving money to for property tax relief because we had a 400-year veto that ruined a lot of schools. And we worked with a governor that's Democrat. We were bipartisan, and they're having a meltdown. What's missing with this picture? So I'm a little confused because I've sat here all session and I've sat here many sessions and it's always getting pounded for schools, more money for schools. Here we go, we are. I have talked to my superintendents. I'm confused too about this three retired men, which I'm glad they're all retiring by the way, but I'm kidding. Mr. Speaker, you're sitting there, so I kind of said. But anyway, we have, I don't know about you guys, but the 54 of us have been in caucus since January when the surplus was announced as they were negotiating. The Speaker and the leadership team kept us in the loop and where we were at, getting the parameters where we thought we wanted to be. And it was not a deal done by three people. I believe the Senate leader, too, was in touch with his caucus. So this behind the curtain is just ridiculous. I have talked to my superintendents. They are very happy. And I will go back and tell them what happened here today. I'm assuming some of my friends on the other side will vote for this. I would hope they would. But this is a win-win for the people of the state of Wisconsin. And this idea that we need to give all this money back to people that don't even pay taxes, I'm scratching my head. And if you're talking to the people in your district and that's what they say, they're a lot different from my district. I'm all for helping those in need, and we have programs for that, and I'm more than willing to look at giving more money for those programs. But I think we're getting a little out there with some of this rhetoric today about the sky is falling because, oh my God, we did a bipartisan deal. We're giving more money to schools. We're giving more money to taxpayers. And it's just, I'm actually enjoying this. So thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative from the 20th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, there's been a lot of talk about legacy when talking about this bill. I want y'all to think about this. Many of the people in this room will not be coming back next session, either by choice or not by choice. You want this vote to be your legacy, Mr. Speaker? I'm not having a meltdown. I'm perfectly calm for now. But you know, when we really started to look at this bill and realized what the impact is going to be on the people of the state of Wisconsin. You're not talking about the 4% tax increase that they're going to be looking at session after session after session. You're not talking about the fact that you are going to leave the state in a structural deficit. Now, Mr. Speaker, I would be more than happy to vote on a couple little things in this budget, like, well, maybe one big thing, special ed funding, which we have been talking about for years.
That's not a compromise, then, is it?
That's probably about the only good thing in this particular bill. I have constituents who believe that they're going to get a $300 or $600 check. Chances are most of my constituents are going to get less than $100, some maybe $7.50. I don't know, that might buy them a gallon of gas these days. People are hurting, and we're not helping them in this bill. Mr. Speaker, compromise means we are all talking about what needs to be done. Nobody on this side of the aisle had any input into this. We heard rumors, but we were actually slapped with this on Monday morning. This huge bill that spends, what is it, over $1 billion, and we've had 2 days to actually look at it and figure it out. Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to vote for this bill because it's nothing but smoke and mirrors during campaign season. Thank you.
Representative from the 22nd.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I thought you said 27th. I rise today. I like this bill, and I'd like to first thank leadership for bringing it to us, especially representative from the 33rd. I, unlike some, will miss him being here. This is a bipartisan deal. The governor, obviously we know it's bipartisan, so I don't know why it's so hard to get $1.8 billion back to our taxpayers, to our voters, to our constituents. The place kind of amazes me that there could be that big of a problem. One thing I'd like to bring up, though, is that I'd like to compliment my colleague from my Senate district from the 22nd, or 20, yes, from the 23rd, for bringing up Turducken. I like that one. That's football on Thanksgiving, and it's John Madden, and it's a good memory. But I like turduckens. As far as the bill goes, I'd just like to quickly say a couple of things I like the most are the no tax on overtime and the no tax on tips. We passed those in our assembly and in the Senate, and I'm happy today that the governor looks like he's going to get on board with that and approve that if we get this through. It's a middle-class tax cut. It's for people. I was in the bar restaurant business for a long, long time. People work for tips, and this is important to give them a tax cut on those tips. I think it's going to be beneficial to a lot of folks. And as far as no tax on overtime, you know, we're talking about nurses, 911 operators, working class folks, factory workers that work overtime. And I think it's a great thing that they're going to get a break also. And on top of that, these bills, they match the federal law that we have today. So this will be more simplicity for tax preparers and for taxpayers when they go to pay their taxes. So I'm happy that we are doing this bill today, and I am, and one last part too, I'd be remiss, my wife would be mad at me because she's about special ed. I'm happy that we're doing more in special ed. My school districts, so I've talked to them. They're very excited about the possibility of getting more special ed funding. So I'm very much in favor of that also. So the vote for me is green. Thank you.
Question is, May 2026, special session, Assembly Bill 1, having been read three times, should the bill be passed? Representative from the 48th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today in opposition to this bill. I talked to constituents at the doors of my district, which includes part of Madison and some Prairie, and I constantly hear about the burden that people, homeowners, are facing due to their high property taxes. And Mr. Speaker, this bill will not fix Wisconsin's property tax problem. Over the past 16 years, it's been Republican fiscal policy that has led to our crazy high property taxes. because of decisions made by the majority of this body, schools today are receiving $3,400 less per pupil in inflation-adjusted dollars. Multiply that by the kids in your school, and it's really clear why Wisconsin is in the top 10 states for property tax. This is a structural problem. It's a structural problem created by Republican fiscal policy. They have taken your income and your sales tax for years, and they've not given it back. Instead, they've kept the money and forced you to raise your local property taxes like my constituents have had to do year after year. And so now we have this election year political gimmick. We'll give you, or at least some of you, a $300 check. For example, if you're a senior on Social Security, sorry. And now due to Trump's illegal tariff taxes, and now his Iran gas price increases, we're dealing with record costs. People in my district are getting crushed just for the luxury of going to work or buying groceries. So $300 simply isn't enough because it doesn't fix the structural problem. And you guessed it, you're gonna pay thousands more in property taxes in the years ahead. So instead of political tricks, let's index state school funding to inflation. It's so simple. Why come out here and play act that you care about schools and ignore what we all know would put an end to our property tax nightmare? Today, in this situation, when politicians promise you a tax cut, we will all end up paying more.
Representative from the 92nd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know what, I'm not 100% happy with this bill. I don't think anyone in here is, but that's what compromise looks like. So first I'm gonna start out with the special ed funding. The special ed funding, I'm happy that we're honoring and actually exceeding what was promised in the budget. Next year, 50% funding, and that's more than double of what it was in 2019 prior to when I was in the legislature for funding going to special ed. You know, obviously all of us are getting out and talking to a lot of people this time of year and going forward through November, and that is one of the top things I'm hearing. What are you doing for special ed? You promised this in the budget, why isn't it this? And I gotta explain the calculation with the fiscal bureau, which people don't care about that. They just wanna know, why didn't you follow through? Well, we are following through and exceeding what we had promised actually in the budget on that. And I'll tell you what it means locally. I have primarily three districts that reside directly in my district. The largest benefactor, Chippewa Falls High School or Chippewa Falls Unified, is gonna be getting $1.5 million just in the special ed additional funding. Elk Mound, which is my smallest, is gonna be getting just over $300,000. And the best one, because I'm the alma mater from there, is the Menominee Mustangs are gonna be getting $1.1 million. So it does make an impact right now. This is not something that can wait, it's sitting in the state checking account. So we need to get it out there. And then property tax relief. You know, people have been obviously complaining as they open up their tax bills and they see what our taxes are in the state of Wisconsin. And I find it very ironic that we've got people on the other side of the aisle that are complaining about, you know, not doing enough for property tax relief. I doubt that many of them have even received a property tax bill or even opened it, let alone actually see what the numbers are inside there. But this does help with that. Then we've got tips and overtime. Now, personally, I'm not super happy about the tips portion of it because I don't receive very many tips personally, but I know a lot of people that are happy about it. The servers, the wait staff, the workers, the massage therapists, the people that are doing a really good job and deserve to receive that tip as an actual bonus as it was originally intended for. And then no tax on overtime. That is a big deal because I think it's important that we encourage people that want to actually work a little extra, maybe save up a little bit more money, maybe pay some bills, and not penalize them. And as stated before, this just echoes basically what the federal government has done, only it doesn't end in 2028. This is going to be ongoing. And then rebate checks. I think it's important that the people that receive rebate checks
are those that actually help create the state surplus. So if you paid in, yes, you're going to get that money back. You're going to get $300 if you're an individual, $600 if you're a married couple filing jointly. So I do think that is important, because I think it's unethical to maybe give money to people back as a tax rebate. It's kind of like me going into a store and asking for a rebate for something that I didn't even buy. And then the bipartisan work. Obviously, I was hoping this would have been done like a month ago, but this is how these negotiations go. It takes time. You're not always going to get everything you want. That's kind of how governance works. And the number one thing I'm hearing at the door is work for us. We don't care about what's going on in Washington. We don't even care about what's going on in Madison. And all they ever see in the news is the bickering back and forth. Well, we have a deal with the governor on this. And I'm glad that Governor Evers, on his way out, along with our speaker, have come to a compromise that we can vote for. Yeah, I don't like every single piece of this, but I think it's a win for Wisconsinites. And that's what they elect us to do, is to come down here and work. Not sit and play political theater and go back and forth about picking apart the bad parts of a bill. Because quite frankly, you can do that with every piece of legislation in this building. And I will say this session, I've been proud to author 15 bills that have passed this floor. 13 of those 15 have passed with bipartisan support, and I look forward to doing the same thing next session. So with that, the speaker, Mr. Speaker, the vote is green.
Representative from the 60th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and my fellow colleagues. Let me preface my comments that this is the last time I'll speak on the floor of the Assembly. And I want to thank you for a collection of memories that go from this was exciting, this was educational, to this was frustrating, and I can't believe this is the way we make decisions. I sit here today, I'm listening to arguments on the other side. Somehow they think we are dealing with the state budget. We're looking for the structural adjustments if you do it at that time. Let me note, in this last budget, we increased state spending by 12.4%. It was $12.3 billion. It's not like we're not spending money and addressing the needs that we have around us. With regard to the bill we're looking at today, let me start with this note. We have good news. The state's coffers are flush with cash. Here's the bad news. You put it there. You were overcharged for the goods and services that you paid for. Let's compare that. If you walk into a store in your community and you buy an item for $17, you walk up to the counter, you give the clerk a $20 bill, and the clerk says nothing. And the clerk gives you back nothing. And when you ask, what did you do with my money? And the clerk says, well, we've decided in our organization, we are better prepared to deal with your excess funds, so we're going to keep it. That is not acceptable to you in your local store, and it should not be an acceptable outcome when we look at our state budget. We have a $2.5 billion surplus. We are willing to spend $1.8 billion and return it in different forms back to you, the taxpayers. We look at special ed. We have a problem that we have an increasing number of students in our public schools that are dealing with special ed issues. We are stepping up to help fund that issue, and I'm happy about that. But everyone that ever came into my office and said, I need more money for special ed, I would always ask this question. Have you questioned why the number of special ed students have increased at a dramatic level going back to 2012? Yeah, back to the time that we came up with the smartphones. Back to the time that social media started shaping our public. If we don't address that problem, you're just going to keep spending more money. The answer is not to spend more money, it's to figure out how to reduce the number of kids that are designated as special ed. Then we look at providing property tax relief. I think it's the number one issue all of us have heard from with our constituents. Between the general school aid and the tech schools, it's over $350 million that we're going to send back, so it'll help reduce the increases in your property taxes that are otherwise going to take place, especially under the 400-year veto. So We complain because we're helping taxpayers with property taxpayers or payments. That makes no sense to me. No tax on tips. We have all kinds of people in the service industry. They are lower income people, and we are going to give them the advantage of not having to pay a state income tax that will match the fact that they won't have to pay a federal income tax. The one that I am most excited about in this sense is the no tax on overtime. I live in a district that is primarily manufacturing and construction, and then medical related services. We have a lot of overtime, and I have super respect for those people that are working for their families, and they're out there 50, 60 hours a week. This is a relief valve that I think is one of the most beneficial things we can do for the hard workers of Wisconsin. Finally, we come to the rebate checks. Remember not getting change when you went to the store? You didn't get your $3 back? Well, this is a way of doing that. This can provide up to $300 for an individual who what? Pays income taxes. And it's a full year resident of Wisconsin. That, if you made a payment, you're the one that qualified for a rebate. That's the way it works at Menards, and I don't think Menards can operate without it. You also look at $600 for joint filers. Some people say, well, that's really not a lot of money. That's not gonna make a difference. It's $862 million. This is real money. And we're sending it back to the people that overpaid for the products and services provided by the state of Wisconsin. So today, it's a good day for Wisconsin. What we're doing is we're taking the bad news about you paying in too much money and turning it into good news by creating credits back to you, the taxpayers. And this is a very easy green. Thank you.
Representative from the 56th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a retiring legislator, I just want to say that I'm proud to be able to vote for this bill as maybe the last act that I will have in this chamber. I have to say that I'm really glad that the person that's running to follow me in this seat is a doctor, because we may need a doctor here to remove the knife from Tony Evers' back that's been placed there by Democrats. This is unbelievable to me. I feel like it reminds me of a Seinfeld episode in which they talked about the bizarro world where everything was backwards. We're trying to pass a bill here that gives a large increase in special education funding to our local schools, and Democrats want to vote against it. And I look at that and think, why? Why would that be? How can that be? Well, then I look at the fact that there's no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. And I think this is the stumbling block for them. These are proposals that came from Donald Trump in Washington. And they have Trump derangement syndrome. So they're not going to vote for anything that looks like they might support something that Donald Trump would do. Even though, when I have gone out in the public in the last week and I talk to people, I talk to people in my Lions Club, and there are a lot of workers in there that are in trades. And they talked about the fact that not having tax on their overtime is a really big deal to them, and they really like that. I also talked to some waitresses in the restaurants that I frequent, and they would love to have no tax on their tips. Some of my colleagues over here are trying to make out like, we heard one of them talk about 74 cents that somebody would get. We're giving $1.2 billion in tax relief. At 74 cents, it would take 1.6 billion people to get rid of that money. And we know that's not the case here. We only have 6 million people in Wisconsin. So obviously people are going to get reasonably good tax relief from this bill. As a legislator, there are three really important things that I've always tried to keep in mind and I would like to accomplish whenever I'm doing my work. Number one is public safety for our citizens in Wisconsin. Number two is providing a good education for our young people. And number three is making sure that we do those things without overburdening the taxpayers. We've had a surplus here for a long time, and the people back home are telling me it's time that we get some of the money that we paid in excess, that we get that back. And we have a surplus here. At the same time, back home, their property taxes are going through the roof. That's why we need to pass this bill. A bipartisan piece of legislation negotiated with a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. This is how the people want us to do our work. And this is why this bill needs to pass, and the vote is green.
The question is, May 2026, special